You're on your Classy Kids Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and this week we have been hearing a lot about Net Zero 2050 and, of course, hopefully a forward momentum towards renewable energy across the country, which we know here in South Australia we have had pretty good traction on so far. I'm joined by Dr. Richard Dennis, Chief Economist with the Australia Institute. Richard, thanks for joining me today.
Good morning.
So we've heard from the Prime Minister about a net zero plan for 2050, 29 years down the track. I guess economically, what does this action suggest for Australia? How are we going to cope if we, you know, move towards net zero?
Look, it's quite clear that Australia will and indeed must move towards net zero. And the sooner we get there, as the Prime Minister himself has said, the better. But if we're in a hurry to get there, it seems remarkable that we wouldn't set short-term targets that are more ambitious than the track we're already on. So South Australia obviously has had enormous investment in renewable energy, and that's resulted in a lot of investment, a lot of jobs, and lower electricity prices. We know it works. Why wouldn't Scott Morrison be keen to see that kind of acceleration take place around the rest of the country? So, unfortunately, we're getting vague plans about what might happen in 30 years' time, but what we really need from a science point of view, from an environmental point of view, but also from an economic point of view, is to bring forward that investment in renewable energy, energy efficiency, and renewable storage. We need to bring that forward as soon as we can so we get the jobs, we get the investment, and we get the cheaper electricity prices.
Of course, part of the deal with the Nationals was protections for regional jobs. You don't want to move too fast and lose jobs, but I guess the disingenuous part of this is that if you do have renewable sector, there's jobs involved with that sector.
Well, that's right. I mean, the Nationals have played a great game of politics because we're compensating them when they never proved there was any harm. What are we compensating them for? If we were to bring forward investment in renewable energy, we would create jobs in regional areas. Building wind farms, building solar panels, investing in pumped hydro and other storage isn't going to destroy the agriculture industry. It's going to push electricity prices down. So, yeah, it's quite remarkable that the National Party have framed this whole thing up as how they need compensation when, in fact, they haven't provided any evidence of any harm. The coal communities that they talk about in Australia, well, they are being harmed, but not by Australia's commitment to net zero or by Australia's 2030 target. The problem for the coal communities is that Japan, Korea, our big customers for coal, they're promising that they're going to buy less coal off us. So the coal industry is going to decline regardless of the decisions we make in Australia, but whether or not regional economies get a lot of investment or not, that's up to us. But Scott Morrison and Barnaby Joyce have just promised that they won't do more to speed up the rollout of renewables in Australia.
I guess in the short term as well, if there was a commitment to more renewable energy, more, if there was that knowledge that this is exactly what Australia is going to be doing in the next few years, that would create certainty for investment in those sectors?
Absolutely, which is why, not surprisingly, the Business Council of Australia, the peak body for the big polluters, the peak body for the big manufacturers, the peak body for the mining industry, according to the Business Council of Australia, the modelling it released shows that the economy would be $210 billion better off over the next 30 years if we had a more ambitious 2030 target. So when the peak body for the big polluters says that we should hurry up, it's remarkable that that Scott Morrison would disappoint so many people and indeed, you know, harm Australia's standing on the diplomatic stage just to appease the ego, really, of a bunch of National Party MPs who've made their obstructionism on climate change a point of pride.
So how does, I guess, economically, how do we expect Australia to fare from the plan that's been laid out in front of us as it is?
Look, you know, let's face it, Scott Morrison won't be Prime Minister in 30 years' time. Who knows who'll be Prime Minister in 3 months or 3 years' time? It's not really about planning. The federal government isn't in charge of the capital equipment that factories install. The federal government's not in charge of the electricity system. We privatised all that, remember. What matters is the targets that we set and the sanctions and rewards we set for meeting those targets. So, unfortunately, by setting a target for 31 years down the track, what the Prime Minister's really done is miss the opportunity to give firms and communities an incentive and something to strive for in the short term. And let's be clear, that's what the rest of the world is doing. You know, this is not fantasy stuff. The UK has reduced their emissions from fossil fuels by 33% since 2005. They've dropped their emissions by a third. You know, this is literally the country where the Industrial Revolution began. They are on a very ambitious emission reduction path, whereas in Australia, our fossil fuel use is actually going up. We're actually consuming more fossil fuels than we were a decade ago. The only reason that Prime Minister Morrison can say our emissions are falling is because we rely so heavily on offsets from, you know, trees that have grown, etc. So while the rest of the world's actually speeding up their investment in using less fossil fuels, Australia's just relying on offsets and accounting tricks.
And with private industry, so stepping away from the government, we have seen big commitments from even mining industry giants like BHP and Rio Tinto to become more green. I guess outside of what the government can do, private business, are they going to be leading the economy to be more green?
They will, but they would lead it faster if the government gave them more ambitious targets and more certainty to aim for. So that's the real problem here, that rather than Scott Morrison leading, to lead you have to be in front, he's actually following. I mean, the most ridiculous, I guess, observation is that every state in Australia and every territory in Australia already had a net zero commitment. Now, if each of the states and territories met those commitments, guess what? Australia would have to meet the commitment. So why didn't the Prime Minister say months ago, a year ago, well, obviously we'll hit net 50 by 2050 because every state is committed to doing it already. But, you know, here we are. He's following the states. You're right. He's following big businesses like BHP and Rio. He's following. But what we need is some leading.
No worries. Well, we're just out of time, but thank you so much for chatting today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Richard Dennis with the Australia Institute on your Classic It's Breakfast.